not gonna, like, go into a long... So while you turn there, I'm going to pray. Lord, be with us tonight. It's not my words, but your words through me. Just teach me what to say. And just like you did with Moses, and touch us in our spirit, and the Spirit will reveal what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So I'm going to read, and then each section I'm going to speak on that. So, greeting with 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus, Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first verse says that Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus through the will of God. And when I first read that, I was questioned, like, what is the will of God? Like, that's something that I've questioned my whole life, kind of thing. Like, what's the will for me? What's God want to do with me? And I thought of the verse that says, the will of God is that none should perish, but all should be called to repentance. So Paul, being somebody that thought he was doing the right thing as Saul, he knew everything. He thought he knew everything. So he was called by Christ to repent, and when he did that, he was a different person. So the will of God in that regard to Paul was that he should repent, and that's something that we all need to do in our lives in one way or another. So then to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, to be called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus. So, are sanctified in Christ Jesus. We are sanctified when we are in Christ Jesus. We're called to be saints. That word saint can be used in all kinds of different denominations to mean different things, and what Paul is saying right here is that we are saints because of Christ. We're sanctified because of Christ. And then the verse 3, grace to you and peace from God. That our grace comes from Christ, and with that grace comes our peace. Then he goes on to thank God. I'll read verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I read that, and it says that we're enriched in everything by him. That's verse 5. In all utterance and all knowledge, that nothing that we know about God comes from anything but Jesus and his Spirit. We can't find it without the Spirit. We can dig, we can pour through manuscripts and languages and biblical context, but none of that matters if we don't have the Spirit within us. So the next, it says, or next part of that, it says in 7 that you'll come short in no gift, no spiritual gift we will lack in through the power of the Spirit. We won't lack in our words. We won't lack in, like, the right thing to say. For me, this section of Scripture, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, I've been poring over the last year. Last year I went with Calvary of Delta to the Ocean City Outreach, and that's something I've never done before, is evangelize. And you're always like, oh, well, what should I say? Like, what do I say to them to get them to understand? And it's like, we don't say anything. It's God's Spirit speaking to our spirit, and our spirit speaking to them. So this means a whole lot to me. So no gift that will be lacking in. And then eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. That word confirm is, like, to me, goes back to, like, the Catholic Church, the idea of being confirmed is a ritual to them, but to us, to me, it was like saying, like, you're confirmed when you abide in Christ, because it says that you're called, that you be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into fellowship with his Son, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're confirmed and blameless to the end when we're abiding in Christ. This is something that I hope that all people who claim that they're Christians would understand, is that we need to be in fellowship with Christ to be blameless, to be confirmed to the end. And if we're not, then we don't have that assurance of our salvation. And then going on through 10 through 17. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made to no effect. So, specifically, these verses have been on my mind a lot in the past year. When I did evangelize to people, most of them were religious, raised Catholic, all those things. And I believe what Paul is saying is that these church leaders may have done things in different ways. So when people would be like, oh, well, Paul evangelized to me, so I follow what Paul says, or Peter, or Apollos. And each church does things a little differently. The problem with that is where we get to, like, which leader is right. Mm-hmm. And if Christ is your leader, is Christ divided? There are, like, contentions that people have with each other. People build up walls of division between each other, and then it's well, I'm not going to fellowship here or there or anything like that because of the differences that we have with each other and not the similarities, like our foundation. And there's nothing wrong with the way that you do it. It's not the how you do it, it's the why that you're doing it. However way that you wish to follow God. So the last verse of there, it's not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made to no effect. If we're following a way that tells us to do things in this way or you're not saved, or you have to go to this church to be saved, then Christ's message is not received. The cross of Christ is not effective if you're adding a new law to the old. You're transforming the old law and making a new law. So we should be founded on Christ and what he did for us and not adding new things that should be done or following a new leader or a specific denomination. So it goes on in 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So it's not our place to be wise. It's not our place to seek to know all the things that God has for us at all times. It's not through our words. It's not through our actions. It's not through our knowledge. It says he'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. If we seek to be wise, then he'll destroy that. And bring nothing the understanding of the prudent. We don't rely on our own understanding of the scriptures. It says, where is the scribe? The scribe poured through manuscripts. The scribe knew every letter, every word. And so we can know all these things about what the Bible says, what we've learned in Sunday school or Bible study, and we can miss the flowers through the weeds. Like, all these weeds are growing up, we're focusing on this or that or the other, but the flowers are, what God wants us to see is blocked off. So, Jews requested a sign. Jews need to see the sign that was revealed, even though all the signs that they had for thousands of years was pointing to Jesus. They couldn't see it because they were focusing on all the signs and not who the signs were pointing to. The Greeks sought wisdom. They needed to reason things. They needed to logically find the correct answers, and God uses the foolishness, the things that seem foolish to others, to reveal his wisdom. So it goes on, 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the world. Glory in the Lord. Excuse me. So, check my notes here. So we are not righteous because we are wise. We are wise because we are righteous, and righteous because we belong to Christ. Our sanctification comes from belonging to Christ, and we can't be wise without that. We can't be righteous, and we can't be sanctified without Jesus. So that we can't boast on our own actions like, I know all these things. We're saying, like, we can't know anything. We can't be wise. We can't do anything without Christ. So, chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, just like, or similar to Moses, like Moses was relying on his own strength. He didn't want to go to Pharaoh because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to use the correct speech to persuade Pharaoh to receive. And God's like, no, I am sending you. And if you're that paranoid or that worried about it, I'll send your brother. Like, he knows the correct things to say in your opinion. So, even calling Moses, like, Moses fled because he murdered somebody. Like, he was not going back to Pharaoh. Like, he wasn't going to stand there in Egypt and try to persuade Pharaoh to do anything. He already condemned himself, and he didn't believe that he was good enough to be used by God. So, going on with spiritual wisdom, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So who, like, specifically, we can't know anything that God has for us except for through the Spirit. God has all things. He prepares all things, or the things, God has prepared things that we don't know about and that we may not know about. His ways are not our ways, but he reveals those things to us through the Spirit so that we can't say, like, it was on us to do those things. In John, I believe, I think it's 14, he calls, or no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of when Peter was asked, who do you say I am? By Jesus. He said that you are the Son of God, and Jesus said that it wasn't through man's wisdom that you knew this, but it was from the Holy Spirit revealing that to you. So it's, God has prepared things for us that some of the things he reveals to us, and some things he doesn't. There are things that we're meant to know and things that we aren't meant to know. And it's up to us to have faith that he'll reveal those things in time. So, on to chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able to. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So it's saying, like, when he first spoke to them, he spoke to them as babes, like babies. They were just learning, so he fed them with milk and not with solid food. But as you grow, as you mature, you start to bear fruit, or show signs of bearing fruit, like a tree. So that's where the solid food comes in, the harder things to understand. But when there's contentions, those hard things to understand get muddled, and then you're missing what God wants to reveal to you because you're focused on other separate things. So you can't handle those hard questions if you're you're striving and you're divided among yourselves over what the specific thing means. So going on, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, like, Paul refers to us as plants, or people who receive the seed, like Jesus' parable. It's not up to any leader to feed specifically, give the increase. You water, you plant it, or you put that seed in, you water it, and provide what that plant needs. But they don't control how it grows, what fruit it bears. It's God gives that increase. And I like that Paul also uses the fruit of the Spirit, that those who have the Spirit will show these fruits. But those fruits are not works that any leader can give you, or that if you follow this way, you'll see those works. It's Jesus through us as we grow. It's in our nature in Christ to bear fruit. So we can be watered, we can be planted, we can grow, but we don't give increase or fruit if we're not abiding in Christ. So, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace which God was given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed of how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, he will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So, when I read that passage, when I went through trials in my life, we all have a foundation in our faith. Like when we first received God, accepted that Jesus was our Savior and our Lord and wanted to live for Him, that was our foundation, the foundation that our lives were built on. And just like any, or that a building that we build on top of, or a field, that soil that the seed is planted in is our foundation. That soil is good. That good is Jesus Christ. So as we grow, as our crop grows, we take care of it. If rust comes in and defiles the crop, it's not good for us anymore. So we can't harvest that crop. So at times we have to set it ablaze, like go down to the roots, because it has been defiled, or a building that we build bricks on top of, they have to be level. They have to be consistent in their their making. The mix has to be right when the bricks are formed. Those bricks have to be fired, and they all have to be consistent or they'll start to crumble. Same with the mortar that keeps those bricks together. If you start the building with the correct mixture, and then you change that mixture over time, in your life, trials come, or you get distracted and you lose focus on what matters, it can be shaky, and that building's not going to stand. If you had good bricks here, bad bricks, and then good bricks, and then bad bricks, it's going to crumble. Whether those good layers are good or not, it's going to crumble. You have to go back to the beginning, like where you found Christ and how much He mattered to you. And I've had to do that several times in my life. So we need to be mindful that our foundation is on Christ, but that as we grow in our lives, that we're not building on our own merit, but we're relying on God, that foundation.
Amen.
So, and that we are temples. Like, if we treat our bodies like the Spirit dwells in us, like, wouldn't we want to do good things for our body? What we put in doesn't defile us, but what comes out of us defiles us. So if we're putting all this crap in our bodies, whether that's spiritual crap or physical crap, it's not defiling us in that moment. But if it's affecting how we live for God, if we're speaking in a vulgar way because of the things that we're surrounded by, then we're not being a good temple. Our temples are defiled if we're speaking in a way that's not holy. So it's easier said than done, but it's important to know that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, just as the tabernacle was a dwelling place for God's presence. We are a dwelling place for God's presence, and if that's true, then we should live like that, or do our best to live like that. So, and lastly, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death, or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Kind of like, in a way, wisdom is portrayed as like something that you have to plan or prepare. Like you have to do all these things to know that you know. And it's like you're being crafty. Like you're trying to build this thing up to be wise. But it's like God can see that, and God knows that if you're basing it on your own work, your cleverness, then it's not going to come out like God intends. Kind of like when I'm working with Kent, he says, ask God how to do it. Like, ask Jesus how to do this. Because if we're, like, relying on our own, like, oh, I think I know how to do that. Like, I think I'm wise enough to do this. Then things go wrong. Murphy gets in the way, so to speak. And we realize, like, no, the only reason we're good at anything is because of God. He gave us those gifts. So if we forget that, then things aren't really going to go as planned. So it's important to remember that. God is our focus, and we're not relying on whether this leader is more wise than that leader, or that this way is more right than this way, or that this interpretation is better than this interpretation. We don't know unless we're discerning through the Spirit and then remembering that we are Christ's, that we need to abide in Christ to be right with Christ. So, thank you.
Hey, brother. You just
got to say,
yeah.
Got to
get grilled.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to know, like, what's your, do you have any light on, but we have the mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ? So, when I read that passage, like, we know people that we know because we're in communication with them. Like, we know the spirit of somebody because we're in communication with them. So if we're in communication with each other, if we know the spirit of men because we are men, then we can know the spirit of God and the mind of God because we are abiding in his spirit. We have his spirit, and that we can only know his mind when we're in communication with him.
Yeah, let me just make sure I understand this. Like, do you work with Tim?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're presented with something at work, because you work with him and you're with him all the time, you kind of know his mind. And
yes.
That's why it's crazy.
We start to think like Kent,
and then we're like, oh, no. Then you got a beam in your mind.
No, I love that. I think that's great. I've never thought of that before, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Before you started today, I thought it was pretty cool. You're talking about sectarianism, and I was sitting there looking around even before, and I just thought it was awesome that it's one body, one church, but there's multiple fellowships here today. I was trying to figure probably 7 or 8 different fellowships here, one church. So I just think it's neat that the Lord's working through with, God's working where Paul was saying stop it.
Yeah.
You see it working. So
and that's something that I've seen a lot. I mean, I've been church hopping, so to speak, for a long time. And not that I can't get settled in a place, but I love going different places and meeting different people in fellowship with each other. And it's not about where we're going, who's teaching, the people that I agree with on certain things. Like, it's about fellowship and the people and learning from each other through the Spirit. Yeah.
It's like we're a bunch of different branches, same vine.
That's better than a bunch of different fruits, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of us are fruitier than others.
Hey, if I can say something,
Nathan,
I think it's awesome that you've done this teaching and you've taken the time to study and work through this stuff. And I love it seeing your age guys and, like, you know, Sam and Jonathan and Nathan. And, you know, you guys, this is like, I would love to see you guys do this all the time. And I think that there's you have some insights and some things you come to the table with. I think it's a wonderful thing. So it's blessed me to have somebody that's like Jesus up there.
I considered shaving the beard before, like yesterday, because we
distraction.
We're sanding a bunch at this stage, or we just were, and I was doing demo. And the mask doesn't really fit quite right. And I had an allergy attack yesterday. And so I'm like, I should shave it because I'm just going to make myself more sick.
That's why I should.
Yeah, that's why.
So you didn't have the mind to catch it.
So, by the grace of God, I didn't still have the allergies today so that I could think clearly and all that. So.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
My name's Sean. If you haven't known me, so I've been this year, I think this month, I've been a Christian 20 years. And it's funny because this passage I've been meditating on, like, literally for the last 2 years. Like, and I just, it's like, I don't know how to say it, but I don't say much anymore. Because when I first became a Christian, I was really opinionated, I guess, and I got into arguments a lot about the right thing. And I'm not talking like for a year, like for 10 years. and this passage really got to me because, like, my brother is Catholic, and I know a lot of Catholics, and it's a struggle, right? Like, my mother doesn't hang out with them much, and she feels very uncomfortable, and they feel uncomfortable with her. My mother's like a devout Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess why I feel called to speak here is like, and I kind of realize maybe I'm wrong, but like, what do I really know? I mean, I understand that honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, the older I get my Christian walk, like, what do I really know? Like, for sure, like, and like, one of the things that's been tough for me, like, on the Protestant side, is like, raising my kids is so much about the scribe thing, learning the scriptures, like, inside and out. And I think back to when they were Christians, they didn't have Bibles, like, they didn't have a printing press, right? And they weren't, I bet you, like, 90% of these early Christians just had the Spirit of God. Like, they didn't. You know what I mean? So I just think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm confused or if it's just, it seems pointless to argue. And anyway, I got my brother to come on a retreat a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really wonderful. And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going, but just to say, like, I do think it's really sad that there are so many divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been on my heart for like a long time, like whether it's Baptist or Presbyterian or non-denominational, like to a certain degree, that's a denomination,
yeah.
Right? So, I just feel like at the end of the day, it's been hard on me because like I feel like I don't evangelize as much because I just feel like, and I guess I'm just saying like our other brothers, he's been in the faith longer than I have, he dealt with this, but. I just kind of feel like, hey, I'm really not that wise. Right? Like, if I have any chance of standing before God, it's back to the first day. Like, it's just Christ. And am I going to get stand before God and argue, you know, this is my, you know, my family is Presbyterian, like, this is the right way. Like, it just seems like such nonsense to me, honestly. And as I've raised my children, what's really been frustrating is, like, there's been times in their life where, like, they've really felt the Spirit of God, and the men in the church have been like, well, I have to make sure that you know Scripture inside and out
mm-hmm.
before you can take communion. And that just completely, as I've gotten older, it really hurts, like, it hurts me deeply to say, like, anybody in the church is just a man, you know, maybe they went to seminary or whatever, but like, what authority do they have, and maybe I'm wrong here, but, like, what authority do they have to say, like, oh, a child? And I just think, like, is that going on a lot? Like, I know a lot of children, teenagers leave the church, but, like, to say at some point, like, hey, I believe in Christ and that he died for my sins and that I can't do it on my own. Like, what else, like, if you have that, what else, what other knowledge do you really need?
I don't want
to take communion.
I've heard of stand before. That's more important.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're well done. Good thing for
you to serve. It's been crazy because I've been literally meditating on this passage for 2 years, like nonstop, about the differences and that, you know, how much Christ must be up there, like, oh my gosh. You know. And I will say the one thing, because I've spent a lot of time with Catholics, the one thing that they could teach Protestants is, they don't argue so much about the specifics of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think when they take communion, it's unity for them. And I, whether you agree with the flesh and blood and all that, but one thing Protestants can learn is, like, they don't argue about dumb specifics all the time, at least from what I've seen. So even that, I'm like, gosh, like, you know, when I look at the seven churches in Revelation, like, every church was not looking at Christ to some degree, right? So, anyway.
Not to speak for everybody else, but I think anytime you come to the Scripture, whether it's your teaching or whether it's your own personal devotion, I think we come humbly as babes. Again and again, I think the older I get, the more, when I come to Scripture, I come to it more humbly, more like, oh my goodness, help me. And it's only by the Spirit of God that I can get anything out of it. I can, you know, so I think the longer, but somebody said sometimes, like, it's Christian faith. I think we keep starting. I think we keep starting not on the basics, but we keep. I mean, he just keeps running things through us again and again.
It doesn't matter what you know, it matters who you know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's John 5. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life, but it is they that testify of me, but you won't come to me that you would have life.
Right.
It's all about who you know. If you see the Lord Jesus in the scriptures, you've tapped into life. If you're not seeing the Lord Jesus in the scriptures, you got nothing.
And there's one thing I need to do today. It's just abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think too many times we try and understand it all, gain knowledge of Scripture and memorization. And know what? He says, just trust me.
Yeah, the knowledge just pops up.
Like little children. Too many times we try and figure it out and then argue about it with other people because they see it different.
Yeah.
Instead of just trusting in Him as little children. Look at a child with Down syndrome, the most loving, caring human beings on planet Earth. But they trust. And how many times, because of our life experience, we don't trust other men? And how many times we lack trust in God for all we need?
Just that one verse that says, all things are yours.
I would like to say something about this passage, too. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. But where it says, is Christ divided? He's saying Christ is not divided. There is one body.
Yeah.
Period.
There's one shepherd, there's one flock.
One pastor, the Lord Jesus Christ.
One head.
One foundation.
Yeah.
One soil.
So like you mentioned in the seven churches in Revelation, so that's the whole, that's the life of the church, the way things are today is described in those seven churches. Everything about all every church out there is described in those seven letters, because that's the way things are. And the way things are back then when John wrote it, and the way things are today, is the Lord Jesus is holding those churches in His hand. That includes the Catholic Church. That includes every other church that proclaims the gospel. He's holding that church in His hand, and He's walking in its midst. And every one of those seven churches, He was holding them in His hand, and He was walking in their midst. And every one of them had either already fallen or was in grave danger of falling. And every one of them had overcomers in that church, even though they were a fallen church like Ephesus or Laodicea, or in danger of falling, like Sardis, or in tremendous idolatry, like, I can't remember the name, Pergamum. The Lord Jesus was holding that church in His hand. He was in their midst, and they were overcomers in that church. And you can go into any church that holds to the gospel, and that's going to be true today. Any church. I go to a Catholic church today because I take my 93-year-old mother there. It meets a need for her, so I'm going. And when I go in that church, I know the Lord Jesus has this church in His hand, and He's in our midst. And I can worship with these people, even though I don't agree with, I disagree with most of their doctrine.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But I rejoice to be there with my mother, and I watch the communion, I watch all these people go down, and it just moves me.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord's here.
If you don't mind, I'm piling things up in my head to share. So, three things, if you don't mind. First thing, what you're saying about communion, because I found myself, we did communion, I think, at my church last week, and I found myself seeing kids, and we do the little cups with the wafer on top. I think that probably started during COVID. I see a little kid go up there, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, gee, I wonder if he knows, you know, if he really knows Jesus yet. You know, should he be doing that? And you were right in what you said, because, and I think that's because of my Catholic upbringing, because you didn't receive communion until you were in second grade, and you had gone through classes and stuff like that. So it was kind of a coming-of-age understanding thing. So you had to understand so much before you were even allowed to take communion. But if I think about, like, Passover and stuff, what when they celebrate Passover with their families, you know, the children would ask, you know, why are we doing this? You know, and it wasn't a thing that was just for the older children. You know, why are we doing this? And then the father would respond. Or when they set up rocks on the other side of the Jordan, why are these rocks? You, so that your children will ask, why are these rocks here? And you can tell them. And Jesus didn't say, do this because you believe in me. He said, or because you are saved, or because you've been baptized. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So I think if my mind has changed on that, because I think that gives parents an opportunity to say, do you understand why we're doing this? It's to remember what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross for our sins. And they might not understand that fully. We don't understand that fully. You know. But
the cool thing about that hilarious, too, is he says, judge yourself. No, I'm not the judge of others.
Right.
Because I don't know someone's heart.
Right. Second thing, I think it was neat that that the retreat was an inroad to bring your brother to that. And so it seems like you really threw him a Hail Mary. Third thing, though,
that was the Hail Mary.
I received Christ as my Lord at the age of 14. And my life as far as spiritually has been one of these things, you know, falling into the world and doing the worldly things and stuff like that. Never really, even though I was going to Young Life, never really had a... Are we still recording?
If I can get rid of it.
Yeah.
Good. No, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, I see.
It's recorded in heaven anyway, so...
Well, I know. Well, it doesn't have to be online. I'll just need everybody to know my life.
It's not on YouTube, though.
I forgot where I was. Earth.
Ups and downs.
I never really had a steady, quiet time, even though I proclaimed myself to be a devotional time. Even though I proclaimed myself to be a Christian, I was in my 50s. In fact, it was only probably when COVID hit that I started actually reading all the way through the Bible, you know. Had never read all the way through the Bible. So now I'm doing that. Last year, there's this guy that, his name's Tom Dooley, that reads through the Bible in a year. And I would listen to that while I was doing the dishes and stuff like that. And that was, you know. But this year, I decided to stop doing that because I wasn't listening as well and started actually reading through the passages and praying before that and saying, show me things that I've never seen before. Open my eyes to your truths. Show me who I am. Show me who you are. Show me the history of your people and the history of the church and the future. Show me things, you know, make connections that I never made before. And praying that, God has really opened things up, and I'm just like, I'll stop in the middle of the passage, I'm like, this sounds like such and such, and I'll do a Google search, because I don't have things memorized, I don't know where it is, and I'll find it, and then I'll highlight stuff, and I'll make my own connections and stuff that the Lord has connected to me, and it's really opened God's Word up to me in a whole new way, doing it that way.
I just want
to... Trying to be done by 10 o'clock there, so if people... I mean, if you have to leave, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. But, like, I don't want people to feel like it's going to ruin their day if they have things to do, but you're welcome to stay as long as you want to talk.
Just one cool thing I think is... Anybody noticed Nathan was struggling sharing what was in his head?
No, what are you talking about?
No, I just want to point that out. Because... look, God's given you all His Word in Himself, and you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you have all things, right? And Thessalonians tells you He's entrusted you with the gospel so that you speak. And some of the things that we have to learn, Kent didn't become a master craftsman, Joe, in a day. And if somebody saw their first work when they presented it to somebody, they might have never got another chance. But to stand and share and to come and trust the Lord and learn, it's really cool to be able to do it with people you can trust. Even knowing that I've been doing it 20-some years, I struggle every Sunday morning to share what's on my mind. So it's a battle between the enemy and all. So I think it's awesome that you took the time. But it's also an opportunity. It's like, it doesn't need polish. It just, you can just trust the Lord with what He's putting on your heart to share. Everywhere, all the time. And just trust that He's going to bring the increase.
Yeah.
And I thank you for, I won't say for standing up there, for stepping up to the plate and sitting up there and sharing your heart with us. That's all we can do with one another, share it with what the Lord's showing. And I'm grateful and encourage anybody. If the Lord's given you something, let us know, and we can all benefit from one another.
Yeah. So, I'm in awe of, I've come here, and this is a lot of people I don't even know, because usually it's a smaller group, and I've been gone for a couple months, but I know enough from the old-timers and the new-timers, the people that come here have really done their work, and I feel the Holy Spirit when I walk in that door. And to have you get up in front of all these knowledgeable Christian practicing men and stand up there, but let me tell you, when I go home,
as far as I'm concerned,
I don't know if I'll hit. Maybe I will hit my knees. My right knee is. I got. I don't know if rocks or something in my. I'm going to tear that wall down, dude. I mean, you really got to me, man. Through the Holy Spirit, through what you were saying, and the struggle to let me know that I too can do things. You know what I mean? And to be serious about your young guy, and here I am, this old guy, I probably got 5 good ones left in me, but that I too can get serious about, you know, why is it a struggle? You know what I mean? Why am I, it doesn't have to be a struggle. You know what I mean? I'm faking it until I make it, I guess. You know, and it doesn't really have to be that way. You know, I feel comfortable, I feel relaxed, and that was beautiful, and I appreciate you. Thanks for letting me share.
I think, thank you for saying that. It's been taken me a long time to, throughout my life, to actually even get words out about how I feel about like God and what He's done in my life. So it's been a struggle.
Amazing.
I try to do that. As much as it scares me, I try to do it as much as I can.
Amen.
Through you, amen.
Being honest.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Sorry, Ken. Cooking didn't make it to the teaching.
What?
Cooking didn't keep up with the teaching. The Word of God is always better at feeding. Sorry. I'm sorry, you're doing great.
I told y'all, he's always a player. There's always one guy in the crowd.
Oh, something about my own cooking.
Oh, okay.